The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome back to Tech Talk right here on High FM, where we provide you with your weekly dose of fresh gadget technology and commentary around technology and all the various crazy goings-ons and some fundamental changes that really affects all our lives. So you should always stay listening and tell your friends about it. I think we need to expand the circle of people who really get to understand what's going on around technology and listen right here on High FM. But we obviously focus on what affects South Africa, but I do try most of the time to look at all the global trends, look at what's relevant, because truly the hubs of technology development have sort of solidified into a couple of really important areas. Around the computer side, there's no question that the US and the Silicon Valley impact, as well as many other factors, has completely dominated, especially around the world of AI. But don't let that fool you into thinking that there aren't massive developments going on in Europe, in China, certainly a little bit hidden by the Chinese curtain and firewall, but you are seeing massive developments coming out of that territory, which bleeds and blends into everything else that we do. And other smaller places, not to belittle anything that's going on in Africa and South Africa, but generally, as technology takers, we enjoy all the benefits of all this stuff. And my job is just to make it real, make it understandable, and highlight some of the good stuff that we can find. And as usual, getting into my first pick of the week, and that's a gadget. Now, this is something that's pretty close to my heart. As I've been getting younger or older, whichever way you want to look at it, health and fitness has become an important component in my life. And globally, longevity, health, as well as wellness has become a big deal. Now, AI, computers, and sensors have played an enormous part in the understanding of that. All of us have access to information at levels that you couldn't even begin to understand a couple of years ago. And none of this is medical advice. So obviously, if you've got any medical issues, if there's any questions that you feel need, you know, expert advice, talk to your healthcare professional, talk to your clinics, talk to your doctors. But generally, getting into a healthy mindset and getting into a program of health and wellness and eating well and all that good stuff. Well, you know, who doesn't want to lose those last few kilos, especially after a good weekend or a couple of fantastic Shabbos or Yontif evenings? That's sort of a universal thing. And one of the gadgets that I played with for years and years and years came from a company called Fitbit. They were pretty much the people that defined the sensor, the worn sensor era around personal fitness. You all had a Fitbit band to start, which was pretty much just a dumb little band with a tiny little screen that gave some basic stuff. It hooked up to your phone, and there was a nice little app that, you know, gave you a lot more information and certain context to a lot of the, you know, the information that was coming off the band. That morphed over a while into a smart watch. So it was a combination of watch, tracker, you know, notification device that sat on your wrist. And the thing I liked about Fitbit, it emerged out of the Pebble era, which was one of the first of the sort of on-arm wearable trackers out there, is that it was simple. It had 5 to 7 day battery life, so you weren't constantly taking it off and charging it. It also did a pretty good job at heart rate and all the basic metrics, you know, with motion sensors. So you went running and you did whatever you did, it picked it up and tracked it, and it gave you metrics to your daily behavior. It eventually started tracking VO2 max, which set your fitness levels, or rather commented on your fitness levels. And that morphed over the years into, you know, everyone's got a smartwatch. It does a lot of this. And in my personal opinion, smartwatches like the Apple Watch are great at lots of things. They're not particularly spectacular at any one thing. And one of the one things they're not really great at is health tracking. Now, there's Garmin's that have got if you're a golf player, you've got a Garmin that'll tell you wherever you are based on GPS built into the watch, how far it is to the green, how far it is to where you're standing on the courses, and the courses are all in the system. Again, that's a digression for a whole nother day, but pretty cool if you want to use it. But Fitbit as a brand over the last couple of years was acquired by Google 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere around there, time flies, I can't remember exactly. But Google acquired Fitbit. They promised they would enhance it and continue. But at the time, Google had their own smartwatch brand under the Android umbrella. And sadly, Fitbit faded away. You hardly hear it. It stopped being sold in South Africa. It just became a non-entity in the Fitbit wearable market. And over the last year or two, something called the Whoop and other bands of that nature started coming to the forefront. And their promise was comprehensive health and wellness. So not only would it take all those metrics it tracked on your body, it would combine it in a health and wellness app, an advisory device that would really give you a monitoring of your age and a very sophisticated look at what you were doing and what you were eating, if you combine it with a food tracking app, and a lot of comprehensive stuff, all driven obviously by the growth in AI. So they've got better and better. The advice has got more and more comprehensive, but at a price. They were talking about $290 plus subscription plus, which is a high price to pay. Though when you go to the local Virgin Active and you see how many people are wearing them, obviously not too high for some, but it was expensive. And recently, about a month and a bit ago, Google announced a brand new device called the Fitbit Air, and that's the topic of the conversation today. Now, the Fitbit Air is a lightweight, screenless fitness tracker, full loop achieved. The original Fitbits were lightweight, screenless, with 7 days battery life. And now we're back to a lightweight, screenless fitness tracker it only weighs 12 grams, along with a very cool little strap. It's very slim. It'll look good on men, women, no problem. It's got a week-long battery life. It tracks everything from heart rate, sleep, stress, oxygen saturation levels, and it has a full sensor for motion, so it tracks all that. And it's reasonably affordable. It's between 1,800 and 2,000 Rand. However, at this point in time, it is not officially on sale in South Africa. I found it on gwiz.co.za at around about 2,695, which is about a 30% premium, but they import it from overseas suppliers. I have no doubt that at some point Google will sell it in South Africa directly. But at the moment, you'll probably only see it in stores and other places as a slight parallel import. But I've got one. I'm trying it. It's exactly what promises. It tracks my sleep. It tracks my health. It tracks everything that you need to do. It's very slick, easy, and just what I wanted. My watch was too heavy to go to sleep with. I didn't feel comfortable. Now I've got a device that does it all. So check out the Google Fitbit Air. It's really a very, very cool, well-priced, it comes with the old Fitbit app, which has now been renamed Google Health. So all the basic metrics and information's there. If you want all the advanced AI coaching stuff, that will cost probably somewhere 100 Rand a month or thereabouts, maybe a little bit more. But let's see where that goes. It's optional. You don't need it, but you can have it, which would then give a very Whoop-like service at a much lower price.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And we're into our sort of 20-minute Tech Talk segment, which gives us a little bit more time to really explore certain topics. I do try to get guests in now and then. A little challenging of late. Everyone seems to be rather busy, along with myself. And it just makes sense that it's challenging to get people to talk on the radio all the time. But anyway, in the absence of that, we're going to talk about the sound of the home and how essentially modern audio is transforming everyday living. Now, it's a subset, but I think a key subset of the smart home. Now, smart homes in South Africa, for some logistical reasons and some financial reasons, hasn't taken off in quite the same way as you see in many European or American or other places around the world. The first constraint has always been South Africa. The vast majority of buildings are brick, cement, concrete, and it's very difficult to retrofit into an existing building the wiring, the cabling, and the necessary components, along with the control and operational stuff for blinds, lighting, etc. And that makes it an expensive investment in a home. If you're building a home from scratch, there are a vast array of automation, control, and management systems from people even as general as Samsung, LG, as well as a whole ton of specialist providers. So it just makes sense if you are looking at a brand new place to put something around a smart home, which controls energy consumption, it controls the various gadgets that you use and the white goods that you use, so your fridges, to your washing machines, your pool pump, all these type of things for a great, and your solar panels and everything to do with energy in a very, very comprehensive way. It saves money, keeps you comfortable, and all those sort of promises, and saves a ton of cost in many cases. So smart homes have that element as well. On the other side, entertainment, a big screen TV, good quality speakers, sound has become a core component of what goes on in the home. And for many of us, it was simply a matter of morphing from a standard analog amplifier and a pair of speakers that you listen to either CDs, tapes, back in the day, records, whatever you want on it, to a comprehensive system hooked up to an AV system with a television, multiple speakers, couple of amplifiers, a nice big subwoofer, and you could have a little party or watch a movie or just enjoy good quality sound in the home in a fairly comprehensive way. At the same time, Bluetooth and smart speakers started becoming pretty much available to anyone at really some very, very reasonable prices. And it is that part of it, when they're hooked up to Siri, whether it's hooked up to Alexa, it doesn't matter which system, or Google, it doesn't matter which system you are using. They became or are becoming an integral part in how you run your home. But I'm going to focus mostly on the audio side of this. And I think it's really important to understand how we are revolutionizing our audio performance in the homes. Multi-home audio used to be an expensive distribution network with cables and speakers and zones and amplifiers, you name it. It got super, super complicated. Obviously, now in the age of high-quality, high-speed Wi-Fi, having a bunch of smart speakers, and we're talking speakers like a fairly recently launched Bose Lifestyle Ultra speaker, or the Apple HomePod, or the Sonos Era speakers. There are a number of them out there. I mean, Denon and a lot of other companies make really smart speakers. And all of these versatile wireless speakers deliver surprisingly wide sound stages and very interesting technology, which really completely changes the way that you use them. You can have multiple rooms, you can have multiple voice activated functionality, you can use it to do all sorts of things, create, in the case of Siri, you or any of them, in fact, you can create shopping lists, you can order all sorts of things to go on and off, depending on your integration of everything. But where this is going is that, apart from the simple fact that these things are smart connected, Wi-Fi or even cable if you wish, but they have smart capabilities, they have a lot more than that. A lot of the better ones are starting to include room analysis tools. So you're finding that the ability to optimize the sound within the room, and I mean, this is as far away from classical pure stereo audio as you can get, but it has a lot of uses. If you've got a very big glass-fronted concrete style room which needs a little bit of correction in order for the sound to be reasonable instead of just being a noisy, echoey mess, you can do that with smart speakers. You can set them up, you can have it analyze the room, figure out what's going on, and make it really good. It gives you interesting surround sound options. So whether you use them solo for clear sound, or just podcasts in the kitchen, or whatever it is you want to do, or you pair them in stereo wherever you are, or integrated into a fully comprehensive home theater system, it's just showing how seamlessly audio is starting to integrate across everything. Now, a lot of people use their smartphone for that, and you still do in many cases. You can control or stream to or utilize the smart stuff using a smartphone app. But at the same time, these devices are standalone in many cases, so you simply can talk to them, ask them to do what you want to do, listen to the latest radio station or the latest podcast, tune to a radio station, or play a selection of music from one of your streaming services, turn on videos, you name it, whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it through voice. But the simple fact is that these are now becoming fully integrated into what it is that you do with sound. So you don't have to walk around with headphones. You can if you don't want to disturb everyone and the cat. But you can listen to a vast range. And the best part is what's listened in the lounge is different to what you can do in the kitchen. It's different to what you can play you've got a couple of kids, what they are doing in their own rooms, and each one of them is listening to whatever it is. But there is an absolute boom in spatial and immersive audio products through these smart speakers, which was always a little bit of the preserve of the specialist audio thing. And this is an actual comment on technology. It always starts out with the specialists and it's highly technical and you need experts to tune it and set it up and it costs a lot more money. But we're now at a stage where all of that can be done through AI, smart speakers that are linked to fancy little platforms in the back end that can bring all of that. So you get 3D sound and all sorts of Dolby Atmos and all those things which you don't need to worry about. And it brings, I mean, we've watched some tennis using these systems, we've watched football, and it can be wildly immersive. You definitely feel like you're in the game or you're much closer to the sort of atmosphere of what's happening at Wimbledon or wherever it is, and right now the French Open. So there's just so much going on in this space. And beyond just pure entertainment, as I said earlier, the audio tech is tying into all the smart home trends. So you're getting unified ecosystems that coordinate with lighting, climate, and voice assistance. So for example, if you wish and the phone rings, it would detect that the phone is ringing. It'll immediately lower the sound. You don't have to run around and try to find the, hang on a second while I turn down the volume. It will automatically turn down the volume, let you complete your call, and then come back. It'll change depending on the context of the music. If it's a crowd scene and it's a soccer match and there's a lot of noise and whatever's going on, then you can't hear the commentary. It can adjust for that. If it's a movie where there's, again, a lot of stuff going on and the voice is not entirely clear, you can adjust for that. So it can make your experience far more seamless depending on what you need. And sadly, people who have hearing difficulties can be accommodated. But just generally, the immersiveness and the sheer ease of use in this space. And as I said, I'm not the wildest Bose fan. I've always found that they're a little bit unnatural sounding, though the new devices are certainly improved considerably in that space. They're well priced, around about 5,500 rand per speaker. And that goes for the latest Apple and my other sort of favorite in the mid-range, high-quality speaker stuff, which is Sonos, along with their soundbars, along with their controller. They finally fixed their app to some extent, so it now works pretty seamlessly. And all of this stuff, no cables, just connect it up wherever you go. It's easy to use. It's easy to integrate into your size, your space. And it changes the way that you work with audio completely. I mean, I've even seen a setup where all of this was linked to the lighting. So you could set up a whole scenario with soft music in the background, dim lighting for a dinner party or just a relaxing evening, reading something or watching something. Yeah, well, not watching, but then you're listening to it as well. But certainly reading, you just want to come home, relax, read a book with a little bit of soft music in the background, no party going on. It can all be done instantly. You walk on and you say, reading mode, the lighting adjusts. Sound comes on, you can specify whatever soundtracks you want, and you can sit down and relax. If it's a dinner party mode, you can do that too. If it's party mode, you can set that up and it can really find all the playlists and do everything you want and really punch up the volume in that space. So these small smart speakers, along with some of their bigger, like Sonos have got some really big ones as well, that can really fill enormous rooms with a lot of sound at very high level. You can add subwoofers, you can connect it up to all the various platforms. A lot of them work with something called Matter, and that works extremely well across all the smart stuff for lighting and controlling of all sorts of things. But more and more, we're going to see the ability for all of this stuff to integrate across everything that you do. So you're looking at, obviously, energy efficiency. How do you manage all those costs? Because a lot of these systems now are very good at that. It figures out when's the right time, turns off certain elements, turns on your washing machine at 2 a.m. South Africa, though Cape Town starting with variable charge on electricity, Johannesburg not so much, and many other areas not so much. But in many places around the world, because electricity is an interesting product, when you generate it, you can't generally store it. Batteries are coming a big part of it all over the world, but generally you either make it, use it, or lose it. So they offer people who want to charge big cars or run, you know, expensive their pool motors or expensive equipment, they offer you a lower rate in the evenings after a certain time to do all that at a lower cost. And it's a hassle to try to remember, oh, now's the time to switch on XYZ. It's much better if your home smart system completely manages that in the background and then gives you a full report of how much money you save. Nothing's quite as satisfying of seeing that. And I've seen a trial Samsung Home. It was a home in a box, which they could actually deliver in Europe. I saw it at World Mobile Congress in February. And you absolutely can see a complete home with all the audio integrated, along with video, along with storage of all sorts of information, with screens all linked across the home from kitchen to bedroom to lounge to audio systems across all those above, and a solar system and heat management and cooling system all linked into one seamless, easy to operate from a tablet or a phone, doesn't matter where you are, or just set up an automatic protocol through your computer for it to do exactly what you want. It also picks up, for example, when you leave work. So your phone, which now knows where you are at all times, will pick up that you've now left work at X time. And instead of you having to get home to a cold or warm house, it automatically turns on all the heating and cooling 5 or 10 minutes before you arrive, and it can know that as well through your tracking on your phone. Very big brother, but it works. And as you walk in, the place is cool, the oven's warmed up to 200 for your quick takeaway, the music is playing softly in the background, the lighting is appropriate, so no one's around, they can see someone's in and out. You know, it all sounds completely like science fiction, but there's absolutely no question it's happening now. It's happening live, and it's happening in a way that gets around one of the biggest problems that you do have in South Africa around the structural difficulty in England. Again, the walls are a lot, you know, you can modify internally. The outside's brick, the inside is not. America, the same. The houses are built in a way that it's easy to cut through a drywall partition and install anything that you want. But in South Africa, with brick and mortar, it becomes super difficult. But with a decent Wi-Fi setup, and fiber has become pretty much ubiquitous to all the homes, it is really not difficult to set up a very simple, initially smart home system. And as your appliances need replacement, down to your washing machine, down to your microwave, your oven, your stove, all of these things, your dishwasher, they slowly but surely can be replaced with connected, smart devices, which will very simply integrate into the whole back end of the smart home, and the lighting can be retrofitted really easily because the bulbs themselves are smart. So you don't need to put a controller in to some extent, though using Philips Hue or one of those, you may need a central controller, but again, it talks to the devices directly. So you put a smart bulb into your fitting, it then talks to the controller, it then links to the home system, and it can turn on and off or dim or bright depending on your settings. And all of that links into your car, for that matter. if you've got a Tesla, not too many of those in South Africa, but more and more of the other cars, the BMWs, the Mercedes, and some of the smart Chinese ones that are on the market right now, can link into that and then charge or not charge, whatever it is that you want. Now, it all sounds like a lot of work, but again, to the rescue comes very smart apps, very smart platforms, very smart systems, which make it really easy. You simply say to the speaker, please, will you charge my car at 8 o'clock every evening? It will set something up. If the car's plugged in to the garage charger, it will charge at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whenever you want, 3 in the morning. By the time you get up in the morning, you've got a fully charged car. The coffee machine is making coffee. The tumble dryer's tumble dried all the washing. Just need to pull it out and lay it out. And off you go. So the change is not limited only to audio. But for the first time, I'm seeing a massive leap in terms of the quality, quantity, and pricing of smart audio devices. So if you're looking to rethink how you use audio in the home, how you work with what it is that you're doing, and again, this is not for the analog purists out there who still believe in LPs and really high quality sound, you can get extremely good quality sound from reasonably priced devices that have the added bonus of being super smart. And again, not particularly pushing any one device, but a little bit of sleuthing on the AI app, with Google being fully AI today, with AI first, you are definitely going to be able to find out what's available at a price that makes sense. And it can bring a whole new dimension to how you listen to music, how you listen to your podcasts, how you interact with your home in ways that you never actually thought possible. And once you start, it is an incredible slippery slope of more of this and more of that. And it becomes incredibly simple and easy to use in a non-intrusive way. Your shopping list is ready on your phone when you want to go out and do your shopping. Your car is charged if you have an electric car when you need it. The home is cooled or warmed according to a plan, both cost and just convenience. And when you listen to music, depending on what it is, the system itself adapts to the type of music. You want something loud and high energy? Easy. You want something soft and soothing? Equally easy. The lighting can then adjust to make it a complete sensory experience within the home. And this sounds a little utopia and science fiction-y, but without getting into the details, it's actually really, really easy. So the modern home has become a very different place. The technology that's available to give you a really elevated experience in your home exists, and it's no longer at a level that literally breaks the bank. You needed some home specialist to get it all going. You can pretty much do it with your smartphone, a couple of smart speakers, and the odd controller and light bulb here and there.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, moving on, and just a quick, a summary on the whole smart home thing. What I'd be really interested to know, and if you could WhatsApp me on the High FM WhatsApp line, and I'll get those messages and I'll try my best to respond in some way or another, is what do you think of smart home audio? What do you think of the smart home in general? And who is actually starting down that road? Who's got a full-on setup and who hasn't? Just be very keen to understand if this is something that my listeners, the people of High FM, really do find interesting, because it's expensive in some cases, in others it's not. And it takes quite a short, sharp learning curve, though not terribly incredibly difficult if you already have a smartphone and you use a computer. It's voice driven, it's AI managed, and not a big deal anymore. And I'd like to know if this is something that is actually resonating with people, and it's something that they're finding interesting. If it's just something that's a distraction, great. If it's something that's really adding value to your life, well, even better. Technology designed for that, I hope, in the most basic way. And now I'd like to, just move on to some fresh releases that have come across my desk. The context here is that June is a massive month of wrap-up for the year. Now, in the north, where America and most of these places sit, and where the technology is developed, they are slowing or rushing into year end. So the summer holidays begin sometime towards the end of July. Universities finish their semesters and the years. The schools all end round about June, July. And then they're off until the big September, go back to work rush in autumn. So the summer months become extremely quiet and not a lot going on. But what they do is they use this time to wrap everything up. So we had the Apple Developer Conference. We've had the Google I/O Conference. We've also had the Microsoft Developer Conference, which from a technical point of view was extremely interesting with its focus on AI and practical AI, but it tended to be an extremely corporate and industry and large company focused event, which looked at Unix, Linux, and so many other deep technical products, links between Edge and our friends at Cisco in terms of cybersecurity. So safe browsing was a big deal. So not something that is particularly of interest, though incredibly relevant to the audience here on Chai, but not particularly interesting. There's some big changes coming to Windows as well, but again, subtle, something that you're probably not going to notice too much, along with the full integration of AI across absolutely every aspect of computer use and technical and technological interaction. And that, I think, was the takeaway across everything. Right now, and just wrapping up in Taipei, is an event which I used to attend quite regularly, sort of got super interrupted with the COVID, and haven't been back since, much to my upset. I really do enjoy Taiwan, and that is Computex in Taiwan. And the reason Computex is so compelling and so interesting to go and visit is it is a deeply, deeply technical event. In other words, NVIDIA, which are based there, along with a lot of others, AMD, Intel, all announce new technologies, new chipsets, new computing platforms, new everything. And along with that, thousands and thousands of companies display the building blocks, the sensors. We're talking about the Fitbit Air. The sensors that go into the Air are first, in many cases, developed through the various platforms in the East, in China. I mean, the developmental benefits, the universities that exist in Taiwan and China and their focus on new technologies is incredible. But just to give a very high-level overview, the entire focus of this show was physical AI and the next wave of AI computing infrastructure. And that means the chip makers, NVIDIA, AMD, Intel, all of them unveiled their next generation processors and platforms, not only the devices that do things, but the platforms that run these devices. And what they're all being done is to bring robust artificial intelligence capabilities onto consumer devices more than anything, not only at the big, huge data centers in the cloud. And if you have to believe Elon Musk, that the ones that are going to be sitting above our heads, like Skynet in the space, near space around the world, but on personal consumer level basis. And the other major focus of all of these processes is robotics, because the era of autonomous self-thinking, but not intelligent, unfortunately, but certainly useful robots, actual mobile physical robots running around your house, home, business have been using robots certainly in distribution in a huge way over the last couple of years, and certain other manufacturing spaces. But the home or sort of non-industrial robot revolution in the next 2 to 3 years, and I want to put my my name on that, but I predict, little forward thinking stuff going on, that there is going to be a massive explosion in the next couple of years of autonomous robot type stuff, and not just a vacuum cleaner that mops and sucks and runs around avoiding the cat, amongst other things. And in fact, as I've said before, you've now got lawnmowers that do exactly the same thing. You've got these little robotic lawnmowers that pops out, cuts the grass, avoids the hedges, doesn't kill the cat as well, and charges itself and empties itself, which is pretty science fiction-y. Not something I've seen much of in South Africa, but it's quite a big thing at all the shows overseas. So NVIDIA, a whole lot of new processors, some super chips. They've got these chips into so many of their various people. So you're seeing it in Microsoft Surface laptops, Asus, Dell. All of them are taking all these new things on board. They've got a brand new station AI supercomputer that runs on Windows, which is pretty insane, using some amazing ultra super chips in the back end. With, I mean, these numbers make no sense. But at one stage, if you had a petaflop computer, which was something that only NASA had in a way, and some of the biggest computing users and manufacturers in the world, it's now available pretty much to anyone through their Gracewell or their Grace Blackwell ultra super chip. At prices that pretty much anyone can afford. And that gives up to 20 petaflops of performance, which is nuts, which is a trillion parameter models. That means those models can deal with 1 trillion little pieces at the same time. These numbers are awesomely mind-blowing. It makes no sense to anybody, but it simply means you are now handling data at levels that are unprecedented. And on that unprecedented note, I've got another quick live read, and then we've got a break for our sponsors. And this and Thursdays and Fridays always means fresh magic at the family bakehouse. Golden challahs, babkas, biscuits, and cakes baked in small batches with no shortcuts. Perfect for Shabbat or the weekend. Find the family bakehouse at Genesis Aurox and selected distribution centers across the city. And on that note, we're going to have another quick break for our sponsors. I'll be back with some news, just wrapping up what's going on. This rather forward-thinking episode will come down to earth with some real happenings in South Africa straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And I'm going to do a quick live read first because I'm always, I get excited about tech and then I talk too much. So if you are looking for an engaged, loyal audience, there's no better place to do it than right here on High FM. We've got enthusiastic presenters. We've got great content. It's just great fun. Our listeners tune in every day for music, conversation, and news they can trust. When you advertise on High FM, you're not just buying airtime. You're becoming part of a community that genuinely listens. Whether you're a small business or an established brand, we'd love to have a conversation about how we can work together. WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. Or email us at info@highfm.com and we'll reach out to you. High FM, part of your day, every day. Now, moving on to something that has been long awaited in South Africa, and it is a fundamental underpinning of what made Amazon so, in the retail space, so incredibly sticky and so incredibly successful. Amazon launched in South Africa, just over 18 months ago. And I think they've done a credible job. Their product range is pretty good. There's a lot of direct imports. It's just a decent service, and it's a massive counterpoint to Takealot, who've also done a great job at responding. Their pricing is good. Their services are great. So no comment on that. But what they announced on the 3rd, which was a big, big, big deal, 3rd of June, that is that Amazon Prime membership program is coming to South Africa. And that bundles unlimited free delivery, which is a big deal, video streaming, cloud gaming into a single subscription, exactly like they have pretty much wherever else they operate around the world. And right now, if you sign up, Prime will cost 59 Rand a month or 3.99 a year, which is a bargain. It's $137 in the States, which is almost three times the price of what you're paying. This is an annual. This gives you an annual saving of 309 Rand or 44% over the standard monthly plan if you pay it per year. There's a 30-day free trial for new members. So all you do is, they make it so seamless, just click on it and suddenly you're a member. And if you forget to not renew, it just renews and off you go. Because remember, Amazon has your credit card. So you can sign up right now at amazon.co.za/prime and pay with a South African debit or credit card. And that's what makes it so smart. It only works in South Africa. And this is without question, it's premium loyalty program. It's well worth signing up. if you buy anything from Amazon, and just if you want to pay for their Prime service, it's well worth it. And I think this is a big step. I think it's going to change the dynamics of what goes on in South Africa. And I think we're going to see big changes and probably more offerings coming from Amazon as we go forward. And on that note, I've been told my time is up. Told you I get excited with this technology and I want to just keep talking about all the cool things that are happening. But it's a lot for the day. And thanks so much for tuning in and being part of Tech Talk right here on Chai FM. Tune in every week, same time, same place, just to set up your weekend with all the latest gizmos, gadgets, and technology news. This is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk right on Chai FM. Till next we meet.